Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it may be that you're listening to this. Hope you're having a wonderful day and enjoying the slightly cooler weather. We are heading towards that fateful season called winter, but let's not talk about that too much today. Today I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus is busy trying to explain to people by using parables or analogies so that people can make some type of an understanding of what he's trying to say. And we need to remember that the people of Jesus' days weren't all that well educated, and so using something that they understood could maybe help them see what was going on. So today he's going to talk to them about curses. So I'd ask you to open your hearts and minds to hear the words of our blessed Savior as they're given to us in the Gospel of Mark. Well, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt it in their not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Well, Jesus certainly does have a way with words and actions. So he goes to a fig tree because he's hungry. And there's no fruit because it's not the right season. And he curses the fig tree. Tells him, "Look, there is no wrong season. There's only all seasons, and you need to feed all the time." The analogy is we're an ever-bearing strawberry plant, okay? Or an ever-bearing fig tree. We always have fruit available for people to eat and be filled. And oftentimes we're like that fig tree. We have an opportunity to feed someone and we don't. We don't mention Christ or the Bible, or we don't mention that we're a Christian even as we try to help someone, or we don't really try to help someone because we just feel inadequate, not able to do what in our mind is telling us to do. It always amazes me that God has a special way of, when he puts somebody in front of us, of planting the Holy Spirit, planting a seed in our brain and in our heart to say and do something. And then we get distracted. Maybe sometimes intentionally, maybe sometimes accidentally, but we get distracted and we don't follow through. And we look back and we don't think much about it, but we missed an opportunity to make somebody a fig tree. An ever-bearing fig tree. And we neglected what Jesus has asked us to do. And if we're not going to do that, we're going to turn out like the fig tree that Jesus cursed. If we're not prepared to share our fruit with other people, then we're not ever going to bear fruit. And we're only going to die a withered-up old tree, okay? Now, some of us might say, "Well, I'm getting pretty withered up and pretty old, so maybe it's too late." Well, it's never too late. It's never too late to just try to be a little more outgoing with our faith, and many of us are in the actions that we do. But sometimes we need to be able to also speak about what Jesus means to us and what he could mean to the world. And he says, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So what's Jesus saying here? Spread the good news. Talk about me. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what it means. Talk about my faith. Talk about what God has done for me. Talk about my journey with Christ. Don't be afraid. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at how many souls you touch and how many souls get changed and how many people get saved. We know that we've been saved because we believe in Christ, and at some point in time, when we pass away, we're going to have to stand in front of Jesus and tell him, this is what I did, this is what I didn't do. I'm sorry I didn't do all the stuff I was supposed to do. But we're still going to get into heaven. But we're going to feel awful guilty. We're going to feel awful small. We're going to feel awfully disappointed that we have to stand before Christ and say we failed. And Christ loves us still, and so does God. But he looks down on us and he wishes that we would listen. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to what we're being encouraged to do. And fear not. And heaven forbid, make our schedules flexible enough to accommodate the will of God. God will continue to send special people into our lives to just see. Or people that he thinks need some help to get to where they need to be, and he's going to call upon us to give that help. He's not going to do it by himself. He could. He could just, boom, send down this lightning bolt and say, hey, look, you're a Christian now and you don't have any choice. Welcome to the club. But that's not what he wants. He wants people to come to his son because they want to. They don't see any alternative. They know their life will be better because of it. But they need to be encouraged and to be led. They need to be bear fruit, to have a tree that's full of fruit that we share. The fruit is our faith. We share that faith with others. We do it in so many wonderful ways, and yet sometimes we're reluctant to pursue it to the fullest. We're afraid, we're concerned, we're upset, we're not really sure of what we should say or do. Boy, oh boy, you're going to begin to think that's all I can talk about, is how we need to reach out more and touch people more. But that's what Jesus is saying here. Be a tree full of fruit. If somebody comes to be fed, to be nourished, to find their way to God, make sure we have the fruit to do that. Now, do I need to go to theological school and get a master's of divinity so that I can recite things? Do I need to memorize the Bible? No. We need to tell our story of what Christ has done for us. And why we're a Christian, why we go to church, what we believe. We can do it in simple ways to start with. We don't have to sit and give the person a dissertation of 15 or 20 minutes. We simply need to say to them, hey, look, I'm a Christian and I understand your journey's a bit upsetting right now and you're having some problems. Can I pray with you? Or I will pray for you. God will help. We need to remember that. We don't have to stand there and pray. It would be nice if we did. I mean, that's a step in our journey. But even if initially we say, hey, look, can I include you in my prayers for your healing? And if they come back in a month or 6 months or a year, and they say, hey, look, I don't know what happened, but I all of a sudden started feeling better after you said you would pray for me. And as we do that, we work up the courage and the desire to pray for people while we're there. An opportunity they don't want our prayers, they'll tell us. If they walk away, that's fine. But we've done what we were supposed to do. We gave them the opportunity to walk the same journey we walk, to walk with Christ. So fear not. Reach out. Share your faith. Share it in ways that challenge you a bit, but make you feel so comfortable after it's done. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you. We thank you for each new day of life and the blessings that come from it. Lord, you continue to put people in front of us that need to know your Son, need to know you, need to know that their journey on earth would be so much better with Jesus Christ. Give us the wisdom and the courage. Let the Holy Spirit lead us to be open to talking about our faith. Not in long dissertations, Lord, but in simple words, in short sentences, and in ways that may bring comfort to those we're with. We ask you to embolden us, encourage us, bring us the peace that only you can bring. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who when he prayed taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread and forgive my trespasses, as I forgive those who trespass against me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. A judge was interviewing a woman regarding her pending divorce, and he asked, Ma'am, what are the grounds for your divorce? And she replied, Oh, about 4 acres with a nice house in the middle. No, he said. I mean, what is the foundation of this case? Concrete, brick, and mortar, she responded. Frustrated, he continued, I mean, what are your relations like? Well, I have an aunt and uncle living here in town, and my husband's parents. Also, my husband's parents also live here. Shaking his head, he said, Do you have a real grudge? No, she replied, we have a carport and have never really needed one. Please. He took a deep breath and tried again. Is there any infidelity in your marriage? Oh, yes. Both my son and daughter have stereos. We don't necessarily like the music, but the answer to your question is yes. Ma'am, does your husband ever beat you up? Yes, about twice a week he gets up earlier than I do. And finally, in frustration, the judge asked, Lady, why do you want a divorce? Oh, I don't want a divorce, she replied. I've never wanted a divorce. It's my husband who wants a divorce. He says he can't communicate with me. Amen and amen. Oh, great.